The purpose that you have and the race that you have to set, it's not against me. It's not against the person next to you tonight. In fact, the Bible is very clear that the race is against the world and the devil and the flesh. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Paul Chappell on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you for joining us for today's podcast. It's my prayer that the Bible teaching and preaching you are about to hear will be a blessing to you in your Christian walk, and that because of your time in the Word of God today, you will draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Take your Bible, please. Take God's Word. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. And of course, this has become a very dear passage to us this year. And we'll not really focus on verse number 3, but I'd like for us to read verses 1, 2, and 3 this evening. And if you will, stand with me for the reading of God's Word, and we'll get right into the Bible study. And I'm very excited to be here with you tonight. Of course, normally I'm across the way, and yet we're striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I thank the Lord for that opportunity just to and privilege to stand here today. I feel a little bit like a little leaguer or the number 9 hitter stepping in for the cleanup hitter or something like that. But I know that you appreciate Pastor, and I know that we'll pray for him. And Samuel said to Saul, I hope that I'll never sin in not praying for you. And I believe as church members, we have a responsibility to pray for our pastor. Amen. I hope you'll pray for him tonight, and I pray that you'll pray for him all week. And I truly pray that you'll tell him that you missed him. Amen. And tell him I did terrible and tell him that we want him back. All right. And I know that next Wednesday night will be much better. But let's go to Hebrews 12 and let's go to God's Word tonight. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's read verse 3 together out loud, shall we? For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's pray together. Now, Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the weather today, and Lord, for the fact that we can enjoy summer, and Lord, if we can enjoy the sun. Thank you for giving us life today and for bringing us here safely. And now as we come to your word, Lord, I pray that you might help me today, Lord, and I ask, Father, that you might give me your anointing and your Holy Spirit would help us today to learn some truths that would help us to keep focused in the summertime. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to think on this of how to run like a champion. Lord, we thank you for our pastor, a pastor that loves us and cares enough to work hard and pour himself into the work of the ministry. And Lord, I pray in a special way that you might bless even this evening for him as he, Lord, is doing your work, we trust. And I pray that you'd help us together tonight, Lord, to grow for you. Bless our church, Lord. Bless, I pray, these months of weeks of preparation. And Lord, I pray that you might help us tonight, Lord, even to set our sails and look forward to a great summer of ministry. We thank you, Lord, again for the privilege to stand here and the liberty to be able to stand with the Word of God in front of us. And I pray that you would help me tonight to be a blessing to your people. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Of course, Hebrews 12 has become a very dear passage to us here this year, and I believe it's been a blessing and an encouragement. And it's as if it was God ordained. I believe it was. If you read the news or you watch the news, it's pretty discouraging to see all the different things happening. And it seems like they're all bad news. And yet, if we do what we read about in verse number 3, we consider Christ, I believe we'll gain hope. Amen. But as we come to the Bible tonight, I want us to look at verses number 1 and number 2. And verses 1 and 2 are really the bridge to take us to verse 3 from chapter number 11. And of course, chapter 11 of Hebrews is a great chapter. It names there the champions of faith and those who've gone before us, those who've championed, if you will, in their faith. And then we come to chapter 12, and I believe here the Bible shows us and challenges us that we might run also, and run in a way that we might be champions of the faith, run in a way that we might also please the Lord and do that which those people did in chapter number 11. And as we come to verse 1, we read about a great truth. And the great truth is this, is that there are things, material things, physical things, that can literally hinder us from running the race that God wants us to run. There are things that can literally stop us and keep us, and they'll hold us back. And I think all of us, maybe especially some of us men, can think back to perhaps our days of athletics. Amen. And I know that it seems like the older you get, the better you were. How many of you are with me on that? All right. And I think sometimes of just the fun days. I know a couple weeks ago we had a great time out here at the Memorial Day picnic. And I played with some of the men from our Spanish ministry. We played soccer, and I can think back to just a few years ago. It seemed like that was just, you know, the time for me to shine. There was nothing like, you know, taking the ball from a deacon and scoring on him. You know, it was just great. And yeah, it seemed like lately, you know, my body or my mind, if you will, is making contracts my body can't keep. How many of you have that happen? All right. You know, the truth of the matter is that it's the same way in our spiritual life. The Bible says that weight can easily beset us, amen? For some of us, physically, it might be literally the weight, the pounds, or maybe the weight of the years, but in our spiritual life, we're talking about the fact that we need to run a race. Now, I have good news for you. If you're here and you're saying, boy, I'm a little bit older and I don't think I relate to running, I want to tell you something. Here's the good news. You can run the spiritual race. And the Bible tells us clearly that you can be a spiritual athlete. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed, what? Day by day. And I believe that. I believe God wants us all to be champions in this Christian race, in this race of faith. Now, the writer of Hebrews here is writing to Christians who lived in a time where the society was sports crazed. I think we live in a time like that now. And they had all kinds of games. They had Olympic games on the Mount Olympus, and they had the Isthmian games, and the Greeks had the Pythian games and the Nemean games. They had all kinds of things. And of course, we know Paul in his writings would allude to these things. He would write about boxing, and he would talk about the runner, and he would talk about the fighter, and even the soldier. Those were things that were very common in those days. They had them in front of them. Now, the Christian life is described here as a race. And if you're saved tonight, I want to tell you something. You're on the track, all right? You've got a lane to run, the Bible says, and we are in this race together. I want you to notice, if you will, tonight, in verse number 1, it says that we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. And so while you and I are on the track, the Bible says that in the grandstands, they're packed tonight. They're full, the Bible says. And those champions of the faith in chapter 11, and Noah, and Moses, and Amram, and Jochebed, his parents, and people who've championed the faith, and Paul, the Bible says they're sitting up there and they're watching us. And I really believe that tonight that they're paying attention, they're watching our race. Sometimes people ask me, do you think that people up in heaven can see and know and kind of know what's going on down here? And I really believe they do. The Bible says here that they're watching. There's a cloud of witnesses. The Bible says that, one day, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. In other words, one day in heaven, I believe we'll be known even better. We'll know each other even better than we know each other down here. The Bible says now darkly through a glass. One commentary writer said that he believes that they're cheering us on, that they're encouraging us. He says that because they're one with the Lord now. He says, and he's interceding for us. He believes that they're interceding for us too, and they're encouraging and praying for us. Now, the point is this evening is we're all called to run this race, this Christian life. The Bible says that all of us have to be spiritual athletes. Now, verse number 1 tells us, wherefore? Wherefore? In other words, he's going to tell us now, give us the conclusion, the lesson, if you will, that we need to learn from the lives. In other words, why in the world did you learn all those lessons and all those Sunday school stories? Here's why. Verses 1 and 2 give us the principles that we need to learn. So I want you to notice with me tonight, and we're going to talk about how to run like a champion, amen? And we won't be long, but I want you to notice 5 things. Number 1, I believe from God's word that you have to have a purpose to pursue. There must be a purpose to pursue in your life. The Bible says in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I really believe that God has a purpose for every life. God has a purpose for your life. The Bible says that it's set before us. In other words, God gives it to you. And then it says this. It says, let us run. Did you know that God is not going to make you follow his purpose for your life? It's voluntary. He says that, the Bible says here, and I really believe that he urges all to do it, but he forces none. He says, all of you, look it, everybody needs to and should and ought to, but not everybody will. And I really believe tonight that this is a race that we have. Dear church member, I want to tell you, God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for your life that he has set before you, and you can't retire from that purpose. You can't, listen, you can't renege on it. You can't resign from it. The race never ends, the spiritual race never ends until either you go to be with the Lord or he comes to get us. Amen. Now, I want to be careful to say that we don't run to gain access to heaven. And I think we all understand that. The Bible's not telling us here that we gain heaven. Amen. In fact, I believe something real basic here. If you understand running in the Olympics, you know that the runner, one of the basic requirements for him to run for his country is that he has to be a citizen of that country. And so this spiritual race, listen, you can't even get on the track if you're not a citizen of heaven. Amen. Now, once we're saved, the Bible says we have this race before us. And Paul said in Philippians 3:14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Acts chapter 20, Paul said, but none of these things move me, neither I count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my, what? Course, he said, with joy in the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, in the Olympic, they run against each other. Amen. The runners, they line up in their lane and they get set, and boy, they get warmed up, and you see them go through all kinds of things, and they're running against the guy next to them. Now, I want to tell you that this spiritual race is a little bit different. The purpose that you have in the race that you have to set, it's not against me. It's not against the person next to you tonight. In fact, the Bible is very clear that the race is against the world and the devil and the flesh. Amen. It's against myself sometimes. And the truth is that the Lord tells us that in many ways. He says there's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I believe that running is good. I enjoy running. I love running. I want to tell you something. I think every day for about the last year, I've tried to, as much as I can, get out and do some running. And I love running in the desert. Boy, around 5:35, that sun comes up, and it seems that you can see for miles and miles around. And I love running in the desert. Every once in a while, I'll be out of town, and sometimes we go visit my wife's family, and it's exciting. We go back in the Midwest, and it's terrible. There's trees everywhere. You know, there's water and lakes and things. And I guess I've lived in the desert too long, and I go back there, and boy, there's nice running trails, and I just get scared. I mean, a tree shakes over here, and I just start shaking. And amen, yeah, you had to be there too. There's something about it. And I just picture this big old bear coming out, you know, and they didn't ever find my remains. Dr. R, they have to, you know, study the bear's stomach, you know, to figure out if it was me. I mean, it's terrible. That'd be a terrible way to go. How many are with me on that, all right? I heard of two guys that were in the forest, and they encountered a bear. And a friend sits down, and he takes his tennis shoes out of his backpack, puts his tennis shoes on, he starts tying them. He says, what are you doing? He says, you know you can't outrun a bear. And he says, oh, I know. He said, I only have to outrun you. The truth of the matter is that a lot of times it's a sad thing, but many Christians really believe, I think, the devil dupes us into thinking that we're running against each other. And then pride sets in and attitude set in, and all of a sudden we become bitter. When we become position seeking, I really believe that many times because of it, people get in debt because of it, trying to, you know, catch up to the Joneses or the Smiths or everybody, and we buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like with money we don't have. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you know, God's given me a God-given purpose. He's given me this lane to run in his word. Brother Christian talked about it a little bit ago. My part of my purpose is to help my pastor to reach the Spanish-speaking people. And you know, the truth of the matter is that we all have a purpose. Now, the question is, are you pursuing your purpose? God will not make you do it. He says, hey, I've got a race set before you. You know, this week is so important for the teens. Do you know why? Because I really believe for many of them, God is laying before them his purpose for their lives. And we're all sitting down here, you know, at the bottom of the mountain. We're praying that, boy, they'll listen. But you know what, Mom and Dad? You need to follow your purpose. And there's nothing like, there's no greater testimony, I believe, to teenagers that we follow our purpose for our life. So there's a purpose to pursue. But now notice, secondly, I believe there's a person to prepare. There is a person that needs to get prepared. And, you know, you can't run unless you're ready. I know I've tried to run, you know, in dress shoes and a suit before, and it's just not pretty. How many of you are with me? Amen? And you know, the truth of the matter is that you have to be ready. It's best to run if you're ready. Now, who's the person that needs to be prepared? Well, that's you. That's me. We need to be ready. And the Bible tells us how to be ready. Notice verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing also we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So how can we prepare to run the Christian race? How do you become a Christian runner? How do you run like a champion? Well, two things. You've got to first lay aside every weight. Now, these are the things that hinder us as we run. You know, a runner, if you have noticed, they have very light shoes on and light clothing. And boy, they, you know, you never see one of these Olympic races and the guy shows up and he's got a trench coat or lead in his pockets. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. They try to shed the weight. They try to get rid of those things. And, you know, there are things in life that are not bad in and of themselves. They're not sinful, if you will, in and of themselves. But if they keep me from running my race, they hinder me in the course, then all of a sudden, you know, I need to lay it aside, the Bible says. And there are many people in our church, I believe, as summer begins, that all of a sudden we've started putting things in our pockets, spiritually speaking, when we've got baggage tonight that doesn't, and it's not letting us run the race that God has for us. And it could be so many things. Could be a friend. Could be a hobby. Could be some fiction reading. Could be the internet. Look, it could be the NBA finals. And some of you are laughing. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know. And I really believe the Holy Spirit right now might be saying to you, hey, you know, there's something that's got you off track. It's slowing you down. And there's a great deal of the Christian life. I really believe that it's not a decision between good and bad. It just comes down to a decision between good and best. I mean, you Wednesday night folks, I don't think most of you this morning thought, let's see, should I steal a car or go to Wednesday night Bible study? I mean, that wasn't your battle tonight. But there are hundreds of other things that in and of themselves are not bad, but I really believe many times they weigh us down. God says in his word so many different ways. Brother first said, seek first the kingdom of God. You know, God doesn't want prominence in our lives. He wants preeminence. He doesn't want a place. He wants first place. The place. And I really believe that good things become bad things when good things keep me from the best things. And all of a sudden, you know, we ask this question. Well, what's wrong with whatever? And the answer is, there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But what's wrong with it is the place that we give it, the position that we give it sometimes. And I know in my life, there are things that I'd love to do this summer. But you know, to be honest with you, if I do them, and I don't do them not because they're wrong. The truth is that God's word allows me to do them. But I don't do them simply because if I do that, then I know it'll keep me from doing something that I know I need to be doing. A God-given responsibility for me. And so there are some things. I'd love to watch a ball game. I'd love to watch every ball game. How many are with me on that? Amen? I mean, I just love sports. I don't think that I've watched one this year. And I'm not bragging. I just know this. If I watched a ball game every night, there are hundreds of things that I would neglect all of a sudden. And you know, it's not that in and of itself is wrong. Paul said this. He said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify me. In other words, he said they're not all expedient. You know, the word expedient is like excursion. It's a journey. He said they don't help me on my journey. And he said if it doesn't help me, he said, you know, I just don't think I need to be doing. And so I can't tell you what your weight is, but the Bible says you need to lay it aside. There might be something weighing you down. There might be a friendship. There might be a pastime. There might be a hobby. There might be books. There might be a show. There might be, I don't know. There could be hundreds of things, but I believe the Holy Spirit tonight might say, you know, there's that one thing that you do that has just all of a sudden taken you and it's helped you to lose your focus. I want to challenge you with this. Dear friend, keep your focus in the summertime. Oh, it's an amazing thing. All of a sudden, the sun goes down a little bit later and we've got more time to do things. And before you know, we've neglected soul winning for 3 weeks. Before you know it, we've neglected church attendance and there's a vacation and there's time with family and there's all these things. But if you're not careful, they'll just derail you. And the Bible says, let aside the weight. Number two, it says this, let aside the sin that doth so easily beset us. So now watch. The weight just weighs me down. It just slows me down. The sin, the Bible says, trips me up. I mean, sin just, it just takes you out. And the Bible says that we need to lay aside also the sin that keeps us. It besets us, the Bible says. Now, I want to ask you a question. Hebrews chapter 11 is there's some people there who had some great faith. How many of you would agree with that, all right? Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your head. Do you have a great faith? You say, well, now I don't know. You know, I really believe that the thing that keeps us from having a great faith, you know why we don't? It's because of our sin. And the Bible clearly says we need to lay aside the sin that besets us from running this faith race, from being a champion in this race of faith. And sin in our lives keeps us, it impedes us from believing in God. The Bible says in Hebrews 3 and verse 12, look at this verse carefully. I believe it's in your notes. It says, take heed, brethren, so it's talking to Christians, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the living God. You know what the Bible says? It says that the reason we just don't trust God. Do you want to be honest with, can I be honest with you? Do you know the thing, the greatest problem that we deal with as far as just trying to help church members? You know what the greatest problem that pastor and some of us on staff that help him? You know what the greatest problem we deal with is? One thing, unbelief. Just Christians that just won't take God at his word. And it's not talking to unbelievers here. It says, brethren, let there not be an evil heart of unbelief. Why is it that all of a sudden we come to a situation, whether it's financial or otherwise, and all of a sudden the Bible says to do one thing, and we just, boy, and you just say, I just don't grasp it. So many people say this to me. I just don't understand it. You know that the problem with unbelief is not in the head, it's in the heart. The Bible says that it's an evil heart. The Bible says that, and you know, I know people who can't even read or write who have a great faith. And then there are people I know that have PhDs and have a kindergarten faith. Because it has nothing to do with your intellectual capacity tonight. I really believe having a great faith has something to do with having a heart for God and having a heart for Him. And you know, God has an order in His Word. It's very basic. He says there are some things that just need to happen before other things happen. For example, He says this. He says, believe and be what? Baptized. All right, so that's simple. So He says, believe and be baptized. So we don't baptize infants. That'd be like having the funeral before the guy's dead, all right? That's backwards. So He says, believe and be baptized. He says this in another place. He says, grace and peace. He says, you can't have peace unless you have God's grace, right? And then He says this, repentance and what? Faith. He says, you can't have a great faith unless you repent. You say, Brother Navarrete, I'm just having a hard time trusting God with something. And it could be 100 different things. Basic tonight. If you're not having a great faith, why don't you try repenting? You say, I don't like you talking to me that way. I'll tell you what, let's make a deal. You apologize to me after the service, I'll forgive you, all right? Now, the truth of the matter is that it's real basic. The Bible says, whether me and you, all of us, when our faith is faltering, the Bible says, we need to start with repentance. Repentance. Lay aside the weight, and then He says, and lay aside the sin. And so there's a person that needs to prepare. There's a person. That's me. That's you. I need to put aside the weight. I need to put aside the sin. Now, notice thirdly, there's a price I need to pay. And we're almost done. Notice verse 1. It says, and let us run with patience the race that I set before us. Now, patience, what is that? Well, that's not what you have when you want to thread a needle, all right? It's talking about perseverance. It's talking about a persistence. It's talking about just a stick-to-itiveness. And you know, a runner knows there's a price to be paid, and he prepares for that race. And he runs hundreds of sprints and thousands maybe, and they run hundreds and thousands of miles maybe to get ready for that marathon. And you know, during the race, their mouth is dry and their lungs are burning, and boy, every muscle in their legs is aching, and maybe their feet are hot, and maybe, you know, they want to throw up. But they know this. They need to keep going. You know what? What's interesting about a race, it does not matter what point you're in. It doesn't even matter if you're in first place. If you stop, you lose. If you're in a race and you stop, doesn't matter if you're out front, but look at, if you're in the last leg of the mile and you say, you know, I think this is about as far as I'm going to go, you lose. You say, well, I've been here 22 years. You know, if you quit now on God, you lose. It does not matter what point we're in. The Bible says there's a price that needs to be paid, and we need to keep on going. Run with patience. Keep going. Listen, let me ask you a question. Are you looking for a real cheap way to be a champion? There's not. Are you looking for a kind of a shortcut to serve God? There isn't. It's an amazing thing what happens after a while. Well, we as Christians, all of us, we begin to look at things and we say, well, I don't know, but it's becoming harder to serve the Lord. And you know, many times the problem is we just need to understand this, that the Bible clearly says there's a price to be paid if you're going to be a champion. The Bible says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so if you've been called to serve Him, listen, there is a price that we need to pay. We need to be conscious of it. And a runner trains and he knows it. I remember when I ran cross country and I was not very fast and I was not very good, but I knew this. I wanted to run cross country because it would get me in shape for some other sports I wanted to play when I was in high school. And so every Monday in the cross country team, right after school, boy, we'd suit up and the coach would get us on the bus and he'd drive us out about 50 miles away from the school and then he'd drop us off and he'd go, okay, see you at school, guys. And boy, when we start running, it was a long day. And Mondays, we called them PTA days. Anybody know what that means? Pain, torture, and agony. All right? It's just pain, torture, agony. It was just one thing. You just ran. I mean, it just ran back. And you weren't going to have lunch. You weren't going to see mom unless you ran home. So we'd run home. And the coach, boy, he'd get on his bike and he'd be biking. And he'd say, keep going, guys. You're doing good. And then about the 10 or 12 mile, he'd say, oh, you look tired. He'd say, just keep going. It's just a machine. Keep going. And sometimes I'd say, if it's just a machine, you get off the bike and do it with me. I mean, listen, there's a price, PTA, pain, torture, agony. You know, no one finishes the race by coincidence. You have to pay the price. We sing it, but think about it. Are you weary in your labor? Do you struggle day to day? Do trials and temptations often seem to come your way? And you know, we need to do this. Consider Him, amen, that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, our coach would say, hey, it's just a machine. Tell it to go. You know what many times the problem is? In our minds, we forget the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that we need to consider Him. When our Savior was on the cross, the Bible says in John 19:30 that Jesus therefore had received the vinegar and He said, it is finished. We need to consider Christ. We need to consider Him. And we need to not quit, the Bible says, and keep on going. And you know what? Winning runners will tell you that the race is usually won. That last mile, that last sprint, that last extra push, that last lean, that tape finish, so to speak. And you know, the truth of the matter is that we all need to think tonight, boy, Lord, help me to keep going till the end. A year ago tonight, I was at my parents' house. And my mom had been diagnosed with cancer. And I'd watched her as she got the news, and I watched her as she quickly became ill. And then I watched her as she just had a peace. June 18th, 2007, I was at my mom's house. It was Monday afternoon. I helped my mom up from the couch, and I took her to the backyard. And she was so determined, boy, that with God's help, she was going to get better. And the Lord had already decided her race was done. We went out to the backyard, and I stood there, and we stood in front of her magnolia tree. She loved that tree. And she looked at that tree, and she was just praying and out loud sometimes quietly. And I said, Mom, I said, is there anything you'd want to tell me? It was about this time, about 7:50 or so, 8 o'clock in the evening, a year ago. Well, I stood there in front of that tree. I said, anything. I said, anything about my preaching. I said, do I yell too much? I mean, it just whatever. It doesn't matter. The kids, anything at all. Is there anything you would want to tell me, Mom? And she said, you know, I want to tell you one thing. She said, life is a vapor. It's here and it's gone. You know, 7 days later, my mom went home to be with the Lord. Now, I had no idea that would be the case at that moment. You want to know what I know? One of these days, I don't know when, my life will be over. And my mom was 49. I don't know when my race will end. I want to tell you one thing right here. I pray and I hope that I have the peace in my heart and the joy in my heart to know I was faithful to the end. Amen. You know, I believe that God wants all of us to finish our race. Amen. Paul said, that's what I want. And you know, one of these days, I don't know when, we're all going to see the Lord. And you say, what if I'm old, Brother Navarrete? I don't know if I can keep running. You know, the Bible says, though our inward man perish, the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. You can keep going in this race, no matter how old you are. So there's a price to pay. Notice fourthly, we're almost done. There's a promise to plead. Notice in verse number 2 now. And right about now you're thinking, man, this Christian life thing seems kind of hard. You might be a new Christian. You're thinking, yeah, this seems like a lot of work. Well, I want to give you some good news. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Notice what it says. He says, Jesus Christ is the start and he's the end of this race. He's at the beginning saying, hey, here's your race. Run it. And he's at the end, the Bible says, saying, hey, come on, you're almost done. And he's in the middle giving me strength. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. The word there, the Greek word there basically means to look unto him, to look away from all else and look at that which fills the heart. And so we're not supposed to be motivated, I don't believe, only by a crown in heaven or only by seeing our loved ones to get to heaven. I really believe we're supposed to be motivated by this fact that Jesus Christ himself is running with me today. Amen. It's just the simple fact that I can do it with him. And there's a promise that if you'll fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a simple promise, but it's profound. If you'll just look unto Jesus, the Bible says, listen, you'll finish. Faithful is he who has called you, who also will what? Do it. He'll finish. The Bible says that you're guaranteed. And that's why Satan wants to keep you off track. That's why he wants to get your eyes off the Lord onto something over here. Doesn't even have to be sinful. He says, if I can't get that guy to sin, I'll just get him to be a distracted Christian. That's good enough. Because if you look unto Jesus, he knows you're going to win. Amen. How many of you like that promise? All right. Now to notice fifthly, and we're done. There's a prize to possess. The Bible says that Jesus is my strength, but he's also my example. And in verse 2, it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now, Jesus was running his race, and his race became hard too. His lungs ached, spiritually speaking, and his legs. And the Bible says he got tired and he grew weary. But you know, the Bible says he had a joy set before him. There was a thought in his mind that motivated him. The Bible says that he looked ahead to June 18, 2008, and he looked ahead at you, at us, at the Lancaster Baptist Church, sitting here on a Wednesday night, our sins forgiven, our home in heaven, hope in our hearts, striving together for him, peace in our hearts, joy. There's a harmony, serving the Lord together, red and yellow and black and white. And you know what? He saw us and he saw this moment and he said, boy, that's going to be a great moment. And he looked ahead, the Bible says, and you know, that was his crown. That was his joy. You know, the Bible says that there is a crown in heaven for those who finish. Now, in the Olympic Games back in these days, it was real simple. The guy that won, boy, he got prestige. He got sculptures named after him. His name became famous. Listen, he got salary for life. How many of you like that idea, all right? I mean, I'm telling you, it was big time stuff. And he got a crown, the Bible says. Now, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, notice it there, it says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? In other words, when Jesus comes, we'll receive crowns. You know what Paul said they are? He says the crowns are those souls that we've won to Christ. I want to ask you a question. Do you have some crowns? I mean, is there some people you've led to the Lord lately? Boy, I hope that when Jesus comes, I'm able to lay some crowns at his feet. The old hymn says, must I go in empty-handed, thus my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Oh, the years in sinning wasted, would I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior, to his will, I'd gladly now. Oh, ye saints, arouse, be earnest, up and work till while yet is day. Ere the night of death o'ertake thee, strive for souls while still you may. Must I go and empty-handed, must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go. There are crowns. And you know, they're not so that I can put them on my head. The Bible says we'll take them and we'll lay them at Jesus' feet. Amen. You know, there's a price to consider. And as we strive together for the faith of the gospel, and as we consider the Lord this year, I really believe that one day in heaven, we'll receive those crowns and we'll be so glad that we ran our race. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but also to them that love his appearing. I believe right after Paul wrote those words, somebody came and opened the cell and said, Paul, come on, let's go. And they took him down that corridor, and they took him out to that platform. And he was humming as he went. And they had there the chopping block. They had, it was ready. Paul said, the time is at hand. And Paul, I don't know what he was, I think he was humming. When we see Jesus. Amen. And he put his head there and they said, anything you want to say? They said, yeah, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Boy, can you think of it? The last thing he sees is that axe. And the next thing he sees is Jesus. And Jesus says, Paul, well done. How many of you want to hear those words? Amen. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, what a tragedy it would be to sit in Sunday school all those years and to come to church all those hundreds of times and to hear all those stories and to never understand what the Lord's trying to teach us to do. He says, you know what I'm trying to teach you? He says, I want you to understand from those stories that you too can run like a champion. We can conquer. Yeah, in 2008, I really believe that these lessons are appropriate. So there's a purpose to pursue. Let me ask you a question. God has set a purpose for you. Do you know your purpose? Have you found it in His Word? Are you running it? There's a person to prepare. Let me ask you a question. Are you completely sidetracked right now from the purpose that God has? Oh, you say, well, I'm here Wednesday night. That doesn't matter. You can be well on your way to a completely different destination than God wants right now. Is there a sin that you need to lay aside? Let me ask you this. Is there a price that we need to pay? I mean, is choir practice getting long and being on the bus getting hot? Why don't we just consider this? Consider Christ. Is there a promise that we need to plead? Remember this. He's the author. He's the finisher. And He empowers us during the race. Amen. And notice lastly, there's a price. Oh, my friend, there's a wonderful, wonderful day coming. The coronation day. Amen. I believe for the faithful Christian, one day, I believe he'll be glad. And I believe for many, one day we'll wish we'd been faithful. So we're not saved by works, but I really believe that we're saved, that we might work and that we might run this race that is set before us. Let's have a word of prayer.
Thank you again for taking time to join us for today's podcast. I trust your heart has been encouraged and challenged from the Word of God. If you have further questions about the Word of God or today's lesson, feel free to contact me at lancasterbaptist.org. Also, if you're not already receiving our daily devotional, log on to dailyintheword.org and subscribe today for a daily devotional that will come right to your desk, a word of encouragement from God's Word that will help you each and every day. And finally, if you're looking for more resources, Bible study tools, or books that will help you in the Christian life, you might visit strivingtogether.com. Striving Together Publications exists to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your hunger for the Word of God. May God richly bless you.